Hello, I'm Lina Khmoudou. Welcome to Health Chat. On the program today, we will look at tobacco and efforts to control the highly addictive product on the continent. More than 1 billion people in the world smoke, and nearly 80% of them live in low and middle income countries, according to the World Health Organization. WHO says tobacco is the leading cause of preventable death in the world. Studies show that smoking can cause cancer, coronary heart disease, and other chronic health conditions. Data show that in Africa, 1 in 5 adolescents now uses tobacco. Efforts are underway in the Democratic Republic of Congo to raise awareness about the issue.
Medical experts say tobacco use by young people can have some serious consequences on their health and well-being. It is a cause for concern in Kinshasa.
Cigarette is a product that destroys people's health. It is even written on the package that smoking causes harmful health effects. So as a young person, I do not smoke. And I advise other youth to stop smoking cigarettes because if you do, you will develop some diseases in the long run. There are ingredients in the cigarettes that we don't know that will destroy us and damage our lungs.
This product is harmful. It destroys the body, especially the lungs, the respiratory system, as we smoke. There is carbon dioxide in what we consume.
Dans ce que nous consommons là. Le constructeur, le fabricant le sait très bien.
The maker of the product knows it well, but he is an investor who wants to make money. So he plans for it and pays tax to the state. The government must shut down this tobacco industry so we can stop smoking. It is difficult, but not impossible.
The Congolese Alliance for Tobacco Control, ACCT, is a civil society organization that draws attention to the dangers of cigarettes for the health of consumers. It is sounding the alarm on its marketing in the DRC. Doctors agree tobacco is bad for your health.
Smokers will have more health problems, such as issues with the heart and the arteries, respiratory and pulmonary problems like asthma and excessive cough. There is a theory that smokers often experience chronic bronchial obstruction.
Souvent un problème de d'une obstruction de bronches et qui sont chroniques.
Experts say smoking can lead to social stigma, exclusion, and peer pressure. It can also promote risky behaviors associated with tobacco use, such as alcohol and drug use. Advocacy groups like ACCT believe it is important to educate young Congolese about the dangers of tobacco and promote tobacco prevention programs. Grace Oyinubi for Andrea Ndabi from Kinshasa.
The African Tobacco Control Alliance is a network of civil society organizations and non-governmental organizations dedicated to preventing a tobacco epidemic in Africa. I spoke with Akinbode Oluwafemi, board chair of the African Tobacco Control Alliance, and we discussed the organization's strategies for tobacco control in Africa, among other things.
So when you have to look at the smoking rate across Africa, you might be saying that smoking rate is low. You have countries with less than 10%. You have just close to, 20%. And so for the tobacco companies, that makes Africa a continent to be honest, a continent to grow markets. But the worrying side of that figure is that the Africa now represent the continent where, smoking rate is going up. I mean, it's getting higher, over 3% per annum. And that for some of us is indicative of, growing smoking among the people on this continent. And when that continues to grow, then you begin to see the health consequences of smoking, which are really very, very capital intensive to manage. You need a lot of medication, and of course that results in loss of death.
What can you tell us about the impact of tobacco consumption among the youth? What is the problem, and is it because of the advertisement?
You are correct. Tobacco companies create advertisement, images, programs that are appealing to the youth. They continue to exploit the African music that is gaining a lot of crowds now with indirect advertising. Another platform that is extremely worrisome is also the movies industry on the continent. And if you have to also add the streaming platforms across the world that also stream movies unrestrained on the African continent without the kind of restrictions that you have in India, where smoking is glamorized, then you begin to see that aspirational motive where, you know, African youths are beginning to associate, you know, smoking to, you know, cool life, development, and the rest of them. And so all these factors put together are what we'll see are responsible that we begin to call on governments across our continent to do something to ensure that the glamorization of movies in music and movies, advertisement, sponsorship and promotion. They even do some, what they call the corporate social responsibility initiatives that are targeted at the youth in order to subtly market their products to that section of our communities.
What is the strategy for the alliance to tackle this problem?
The Africa Tobacco Control Alliance is an alliance of civil society groups across the continent. First, we're pulling ourselves together to exchange our ideas, to build capacity, to be able to work together as a continent to ensure that all governments on our continent put in place laws and that are compliant with the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, as well as effectively implement those laws. We are involved in capacity building for our fellow NGOs, fellow CSOs. We are also providing technical assistance to government that are working on tobacco laws for their individual countries. And of course, we also link up with our global CSO movements to be able to get the best practices and get involved in all the global arena on tobacco control.
Now, for this year, World Tobacco Day, which was May 31st, you drew attention to the fact that cigarette butts are one of the most prevalent forms of toxic plastic pollution on the planet and harm the marine ecosystems. Tell us more.
Every year, about 4,500 billion cigarette butts are thrown everywhere in the world. And those butts eventually end up either in the marine system or actually as litters on our environment. And of course, in the cigarette butts are microplastics that are not biodegradable. In the production of plastics, you contribute to climate change. Even when these are thrown in the atmosphere, again, because they are just there, they end up in our fishes, they end up in our marine system, and ultimately they come back into our body system. And so we think that this is the time that governments around the world should begin to ban filters in cigarettes, because it appears now, and there are scientific evidence, that cigarettes, right from production at the farming level to smoking of cigarettes, even to the butts, they are injurious to health and, of course, the environment. And, of course, they are contributing to climate change problem. And so we are specifically now asking government to begin to enforce ban on filters, as well as look at mechanisms to make tobacco companies pay for the damages that they have also caused on the environment. They've caused damages on human health, which are direct causes. Now, we are beginning to say, look, government should be collecting data on their damages to the environment and make them pay for the pollution. And of course, let our world and our climate become cleaner.
What sorts of response are you getting?
So currently there is a UNESCO-initiated intergovernmental negotiation body on, you know, ending plastic pollution in our environment and in the marine world. We're talking to governments. We're talking to African governments at this negotiation. We're beginning to receive very favorable answers from our government, where we've seen some of the delegations from Africa now saying, look, okay, this is new to us. We're going to go sit down when we get home to look at it. We're actually drafting regulation on plastics, and we begin to consider microplastics like, you know, cigarette butts in what we're doing. And for us, it's a positive step forward that we also are going to take back into our different countries to begin to sit down with our government, engage with them, look at the science, look at the local implications, and then look at the appropriate laws that needs to be enacted in our countries.
Coming back to smoking, some people will say, well, if I smoke, it's my health. Why do you care? Why is it important for advocates to address the problem of tobacco?
So, number one is that, you know, when you have rights, my rights to pick, to choose, right? So, basically, that rights predicates the fact that I have informed information about the products. I know the side effects. I have all the full information. We do know that tobacco companies do not tell people that this product you're going to smoke is going to cause cancer, is going to cause high blood pressure, and the rest of them. They don't provide full disclosure of the content and the hazards and dangers inherent in their products. That's number one. Number two is that if you have a choice and that choice is made with informed decision, it should also not impact on the choice of another person. So smoking impacts on another person. When you smoke, there is what is called the secondary smoke or environmental tobacco smoke. You live in a family, and the other guy that doesn't smoke could have similar health problems like you that is a direct smoker. And then in all this is also the role of the government. People should know that the government actually exists to protect us from our own excesses. That's why they give us license to drive. That's why you don't say it's my car, I can drive on the wrong side of the road. Okay? That's why certain things are legal and certain things are not legal, or certain things are used in certain ways. Why? Because when you take certain actions, it impacts on the community, it impacts on the government infrastructure, on health, and the rest of them. So these are things that people need to know, that there is an epidemic related to smoking of about 8 million people dying every year. Over 70% of them are from developing countries, and that we need to take action now.
What do these actions look like? You talked about the role of the government and everything. What about the smokers themselves? What can they do? Because smoking is really addictive.
So the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control is very comprehensive about what government needs to do, all right? And then there is the Empower Framework that further breaks it down into certain guidelines and some actions that people need to do. Advertisement ban, you know, ban the sale of cigarettes to youths, and a whole lot of ranges of provisions that governments around the world could do. Of course, education is also there, and public awareness about the dangers of smoking. These are measures that are already being negotiated at international conventions that we think can work, and they're already working. There are actually scientific evidence to show that these measures are working. Taxation is one key aspect of them. All around Africa, cigarettes are so cheap because there are not appropriate taxes on cigarette products. And as I said earlier, there are countries that kids can walk in into a store and buy cigarettes. We want our government to impose those measures. The sale of cigarettes in single sticks. I have mentioned music, I've mentioned movies, every platform that lure our people, our children, our sisters and brothers into smoking, we want government to block.
Some people will argue that there may have been some progress over the years because now we see on cigarette packages have the warning that it's bad for health. So what do you say to that? If perhaps the tobacco company says, well, we write on the package that it's bad for your health, it's harmful, so now it's their choice.
They didn't willingly write on the packs. All right. Those are part of the measures that, you know, the public community fought for and tobacco companies resisted vehemently. Canada just imposed a law now that even made it mandatory that you must write those warnings, even on the sticks themselves, not only on the packs, because, you know, there are, you know, studies have shown that some smokers will take the cigarette out of the pack and put it somewhere so that they will not see the warnings. Now, these measures work together, but that does not in any way remove their culpability and liability for selling a product that they've lied to the global community, they've lied to all of us over the years about their culpability in selling diseases and death. That does not remove that culpability at all.
So, Mr. Akinbode, before we wrap, what is your message?
My message is that the world should stand firm and ensure that we have effective implementation of the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. I have very, you know, message to my continent that the tobacco companies are behaving like snakes. You know, snakes do remove their skins. But when a snake removes their skin, that does not change their toxicity and the fact that they can bite and kill. So we do have what is called novel tobacco products, shisha, you know, snus, all manners of new products that are now coming on our continent that our African governments should take measures to ensure that we don't replace the evils of smoking as represented by tobacco in sticks with this new novel product.
That was Akinbode Oluwafemi, board chair of the African Tobacco Control Alliance. We asked you your thoughts about the use of tobacco in your region. Are you for or against cigarette smoking in public places and why? Here are some reactions from Nigeria.
I am against tobacco generally, whether public or private, because of negative health impact.
I'm against it. Even people are smoking, it used to irritate me. They say secondhand smoking are even worse than the real smokers. So I hate it when people smoke in the public.
100%. I am 100% against it. Against public smoking of any kind of substance. When you smoke, you sniff in, that substance you smoke out is being inhaled by people around you. It's also dangerous to the health of people around you.
Tobacco smoking in public is very, very bad. It's very, very bad.
You know, the people that even produce tobacco said it there that they are liable to die young if you take it. Of course, I've heard medical doctors say that it's something that will kill someone. Some people will smoke till they are old, yet they are alive. But I bet you, what is not good is not good.
Tobacco use is not advisable at whatever age because it damages the lungs. It has many effects on the body, not only the lungs, but heart and other areas, even your kidney, your liver. It damages all those organs.
And it's so addictive. When you are addicted to it, you hardly stopped it. It affects your lungs and it damages your reputation.
It is written on the pack that smokers are liable to die young. So from that perspective, you know that it's not good for one's health.
Those that smoke, you see the liver pure black, as if they pass through fire, naked fire or smoke.
I grew up to understand or to see my father smoking tobacco. And what killed him was infection of the lungs. When the doctor was describing how the lungs look, he said the lung is supposed to be white or sparkling this way, but his lungs has turned to maybe the color of this microphone, completely black. That's the opposite, like charcoal. Yeah, so that's what it does to people. It kills gradually. It affects the liver. It affects every organ inside of you, not only the lungs. And that's why these children need to understand it from now.
Despite anti-smoking campaigns that characterize the World Health Organization's No Tobacco Day, farmers in Zimbabwe vow to continue increasing production, saying the unhealthy crop is their biggest source of income. Rutendo Mawere in Harare has more.
Tobacco growers in Zimbabwe continue to turn a deaf ear to global campaigns to shun tobacco and grow other crops that are less damaging to health. Health experts warn of the health risks from growing tobacco. The Union for International Cancer Control says tobacco products kills more than 8 million people worldwide per year. The World Health Organization says one in four tobacco farmers, including women and children who help raise the crop, are poisoned by nicotine that seeps through the skin from handling the leaves of the plant. The WHO says farmers may absorb the equivalent of 50 cigarettes per day. They are also exposed to daily tobacco dust and chemical pesticides that they carry home to their families, especially children. The WHO is that 13 million women in Africa use tobacco products, including cigarettes, chewing tobacco, and snuff. Pregnant women who are exposed to tobacco also face a higher risk of miscarriage. But the warnings do not deter Zimbabwe's tobacco growers, who say the so-called golden leaf is fueling the economy and cannot be substituted with any other crop. Albert Chakala is a tobacco grower in Zimbabwe's Mashonaland Central Province. He explains why he will not switch to a food crop on his forester estates.
Tobacco farming is the way forward, because in tobacco you can gain a lot in a small area, but than growing maize, you need more acreage to get more.
Another grower, Trimo Churu, adds,
tobacco is a very, very important component of our economy. Because if you look, this is one of three top forex earners in the country. And it's also probably one of the biggest employers.
Foster Gwanzura, who farms the crop in Beatrice, just outside Harare, says tobacco remains one of the best options for making a living in Zimbabwe and will not support any cause to shun the crop.
We can't support the idea of banning tobacco. Because if you see, each time when you start selling tobacco, the economy changes. There will be a lot of movement in the town, in the country. So tobacco should remain in production.
Gwanzura Skov said the prospects of banning of tobacco around the world.
We know they will still like smoking. So they will just talk and talk, but I think nothing will happen. We'll keep growing tobacco.
The chairperson of the Tobacco Growers Association, Bright Vukurumbwe, says some vices linked to production, such as child labor, can be fixed, but farmers will continue to grow the crop that is sustaining families. During the opening of the 2023 marketing season in March, the chairman of the Tobacco Industry Marketing Board, Patrick Devnish, said production was expected to rise 8.5% to 230 million kgs in 2023, up from 212 million kgs in 2022. Zimbabwe remains Africa's largest tobacco producer, and many farmers say they do not want that to change. For VOA, this is Rutendo Mawere in Harare.
You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat. Cholera has surged recently in several African countries. The World Health Organization says 28 million people suffer from it in East and Southern Africa and is calling for $171 million to help contain its spread. Almost 24,000 people have died from cholera just outside South Africa's capital, Pretoria, over the past 2 weeks, and hundreds have been hospitalized. VOA spoke to residents who have been affected and officials who are still searching for the source. Kate Bartley reports from Hammerskraal, South Africa.
While cholera, a waterborne disease, might be common in other parts of Africa, it's unusual in South Africa, the most industrialized country on the continent. But almost 24,000 people have died in recent days, and in this impoverished area just outside the capital, Pretoria, residents like Lerato Marota place the blame squarely on the government.
People are dying about cholera, so we are scaring now because of our water is very dirty.
She says her husband became sick from the water, but luckily recovered after going to the hospital. However, she says while this outbreak is new, the water has been dirty for years.
We blame the government because we can't blame anyone because the government I mean, it's been a long time. We were fighting to get the clean water, but they didn't say anything about it. I think it's corruption because they don't clean the water.
South African NGO Gift of the Givers is trying to stop the spread of the disease, distributing thousands of bottles of clean water and other aid to the community and to schools like this one. The NGO's Clifford Mabe says people are anxious.
There was an outbreak in Hammarskraal, so the people of Hammarskraal are panicking to drink the tap water.
The government has also set up this field hospital to take pressure off the main hospital in town, says Zina Bam from the Department of Health.
We promote people with any gastrointestinal symptoms or signs or problems that they come here, and then we do a triage out of them and then we give them treatment. So the treatment that we're doing on site is oral rehydration station, and then we put up intravenous therapy.
She said the government was still conducting tests to determine the source of the outbreak. Opposition parties have blamed government mismanagement for causing the crisis in the first place and say it's all part of South Africa's crumbling infrastructure. The worst electricity crisis in years has also been causing daily blackouts that are hitting the economy hard. Kate Bartlett for VOA News, Hammanskraal, South Africa.
Medical aid group Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, says more funding is urgently needed to prevent a health catastrophe in Kenya's Dadaab refugee camps. From the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, Ruben Kiama reports for VOA.
Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, warns of a looming health crisis in Kenya's Dadaab refugee camps, where a cholera outbreak is spreading. Hassan Mayaki is the MSF country director in Kenya.
Taking immediate action to address the alarming sanitary condition and prevent the future spread of disease, MSF calls the government of Kenya and the UNICEF to fund durable solution for the refugees confined within the camp at Dadaab. The three camps of Dagahale, Ifo, and Hagadera currently host more than 245,000 registered refugees.
He said a cholera outbreak in the camps in Kenya's northeast has affected 2,786 people, and there is an imminent risk of other diseases. The population of the camps has grown rapidly in recent months to more than 300,000 refugees due to an extended drought in Somalia. That led to severe overcrowding and put pressure on existing services, including supplies of drinking water and latrines. The medical aid group is now calling for immediate action from the international community and aid agencies to address the unsanitary conditions and overcrowding in the camps. Dr. Nitya Udairaj is the MSF medical coordinator in Kenya.
MSF as a medical organization has invested in treating the patients, but we feel the gap is bigger. Cholera needs a coordinated response that includes medical and also the water and sanitation part. And since we can't do everything, we are saying let's prioritize the other aspects of cholera. Let it not become a forgotten issue that it becomes endemic.
Cholera is spread through tainted water sources, and the outbreak is linked to reductions in essential water and sanitation services in the camps, such as lack of clean water, soap, and latrines. MSF, which runs a hospital in Dadaab's Dagahale camp, has reported more than 1,120 cases of cholera and 2 deaths in that area alone since the outbreak. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
That's all for this edition of Health Chat. For more health news and medical breakthroughs, visit voaafrica.com. Thank you all for joining us, and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Lino Mudu, in Washington, with producer Mukubilia Barrow. Until next time, take care and strive to make every day a healthy day.